All right, I am calling the meeting to order at 8.07 p.m. Eastern Time. Roll call, Kim Laird, Chair, is present. Kevin Axtell?
Present.
Matt Hall?
Present.
Richard Kennison is absent. Kevin McBeth? Absent. Aaron Stevens? Absent. Tom Wall?
Present.
Brandy Axtell, Recording Secretary?
Here.
And Marilyn Sullivan?
Here.
Memberships Director, thank you. And Mike Sullivan, Festival Director and Future Fest Site Coordinator.
Here.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Is there anyone else that we missed? If not, we need a motion to approve tonight's agenda for January 19th, 2011. Do we have somebody to make that motion, please?
I'll move to approve the agenda for today. This is Tom.
Okay, and we need a second?
Matt seconds.
Okay. Were there any corrections or additions that needed to be made that anyone saw? Tom, I did add on your request, Tom, but I put it in.
I did see that. I'm actually starting to think that it might be a good idea to wait for some of that. I'd only really like to get the IJA's prizes, I guess, firmed up. I haven't heard back from a few of the people regarding the specifics of their donations, so I don't feel comfortable voting something in yet.
Okay. Well, the things that I had added was the motion to approve the addition of the JTV subcontest. Do you want
I'd like to approve that, but I would like to have whatever official rules for that, I guess, run by them first. We haven't actually talked about the exact wording for the contest rules, so I'd like to prove that it exists, but nothing further than that.
Okay. And the only other thing I put on was the fest packages and DVDs for the IJA-sponsored prizes.
All right, sweet. So, that's it.
Okay. All righty. Anything else from anyone? Hello?
We're here. I'm here.
Okay, yeah. Somebody just beeped in.
Marilyn Sullivan.
Okay, all righty. All right, and is there anyone opposed to the agenda? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the agenda is approved for tonight. We need approval of the minutes from the December 15th meeting. A motion, please.
I'll make that.
It's Matt.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, second, please.
Kevin.
Okay.
Second.
Did anyone notice any corrections that needed to be made? Hearing none, we'll go to the vote. Anyone opposed to the approval of the minutes from December? Any abstentions? The minutes are approved. On to our reports. Mike, since you're here, the 2011 Fest.
Thank you, Kim. We are busy on the 2011 Fest. Been working with Dan Holtzman and some other acts who want to perform at our festival, and we're trying to find places for these folks to perform. As I mentioned before, we already have 5 nights of evening shows, and yet we have more performers coming forward who want to put on shows for our jugglers. So I'm trying to find places and times for them to perform and give them the kind of exposure they deserve and fit it into a schedule that people can still live with. Keeping in mind that not everybody wants to or would go to every show, but we have kind of an embarrassment of riches for 2009. I'm trying to accommodate these folks because I think it's a unique opportunity that we have to bring acts to the IJA stage that have never appeared before. In other news, we have all the data that we need on our side to begin registrations. What we're waiting for is the city of Rochester right now is converting to a new computer system, and we've decided to use their computer system for fest registrations because it offers us a lot of benefits and a lot less work, and it's free. I'm a little concerned right now that they're going to be behind the original schedule. And I'm going to be speaking to them in the next few days to make sure that we'll still be able to open up registrations on March 1st. Right now, it looks like we will. I just want to have a high degree of confidence with them on that. Otherwise, our fallback plan is to use the IJAE store as we have for years. That would be not as good a solution and a lot more work for us. But if Rochester hits any big snags, that is our fallback position. A couple other things. We were on the call with Matt and the other people in the Fund Committee last month, and we're going to have another call here in a week. One idea that shook out of the first call was the idea of an IJA parade. And anybody who was in Burlington or in Fargo remembers that the parade was very well received. Downtown Rochester is a perfect venue for an IJA parade, so we have applied for a parade permit, and I expect it to be approved. And I'm going to try and put the parade on the schedule for Saturday morning as an optional event. Bruce Plott said he would be happy to lead the IJA band and get that going, so we'll have a nice band to lead the parade, and I think we'll have plenty of jugglers show up for that if we can get it scheduled. So not too much else going. I think by the time of next month's call, we will be ready to open registrations within the next few days after that call. And we'll be doing testing with the Rochester system. And I hope to be able to report all of that to you next month. So that's it for this month, Kim.
All right. Thank you so much. Any questions for Mike? Okay. Great job, Mike. Thank you. All right. Matt, the Fest Fund Fund Committee.
Okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So we had our first call on during Christmas break, right around there, like early January, and had a good meeting, broke out a lot of different proposals in terms of basically we vetted through them, and we're definitely got it down to a smaller core group of proposals that are either going to happen or that we're trying to get some more information on and see if it's possible to make them happen. Certain proposals were so kind of commonsensical that we just said, yeah, let's do this, and then we'll just confirm the amounts. For example, Len Furman for Jogling is going to get some money, and we'll go back and look at if it's 500 or 750. I talked to him; he wanted 750. We originally approved 500, and we'll argue about it next week whether 750 is too much of an increase, but he's happy. Jack Calvin's going to get 500 for ex-juggling just to do some things that he's been doing out of his pocket. And then Slam and Andy Patterson from the New York crew has been given a preliminary budget of $2,000 to work on his gauntlet. He's already sent us specs on this thing. It sounds like it's going to be really fun. And it'd be something that would be put up in another portion of the festival site where people could just do it all week. You know, it's almost like having a roller coaster basically on site, but for jugglers. And obviously it's, you know, the main things for us is that it's fun and that it's safe and that it's accessible to everybody. So we'll see what he comes up with. We might even give him more money if he needs it. And then we still have to talk about some big ticket items in terms of funding for prizes and awards. Do we want to send money to things like the, adding to, say, the prop competition money or adding to the actual IJ championships competition money in terms of prize money. Some people on the committee are for it, some people are against it, so we're going to argue about that next Tuesday on the 25th. And then hopefully by the end of that meeting, we'll have a full slate of the things that we want to spend the money on, and then we'll send it back to this body as well as to IWE, and we'll go from there.
Okay, sounds great, Matt.
Yeah, it's actually turning out to be actually a little more challenging than we thought to spend the money. Like, you know, we started off very conservative, saying, okay, well, just let's give him 500, but no more. You know, we don't want to give him too much. And then after we had approved like the basic things, that we were like, okay, these are all slam dunks. We're going to approve these. We looked and we spent like $4,000. We're like, what are we going to do with that $16,000? So. We're going to go back again and look and see how much money, like the parade needs and so on and so forth.
And just so you realize, EWI did specify when the donation was originally made. One of the suggestions he made was increasing the competition prize money. So I don't know whether you want to take that into consideration or not. It was a suggestion. It wasn't by any means meant to be, at least not the way I took it, that you need to spend some of it there. But
yeah, it's good to know. I didn't know that, and I'll certainly pass it on to the committee, and we'll see what they think of it.
Okay.
But it's going well. It's been fun, and I think, like I said, I think we might nail it down next Tuesday, which gets us into February, which is exactly kind of where we want to be in terms of, okay, now we're notifying people in February of they're getting this money, now they have 3 or 4 months to plan what to do with it and how they want to spend it and so on and so forth. So far, so good.
Cool. Okay. Any questions for Matt for the Fun Fund?
I do have a question, actually. This is Tom. I don't know if it should really be directed towards Matt or towards Mike. I was just wondering about what the situation with the possible shuttle to the campground that's in the area, like what the deal is with that, because I've heard kind of murmurings to that effect, but nothing conclusive.
Mike, you want to take that?
Okay. For campers, people that want to sleep in a tent on the ground, there is a campground about 3 miles from downtown. It's not available via public transportation. It's too long to walk, I think. Bike would be easy, but presuming people are camping, you probably don't have a bike. I'd really want to see if it would be worth it to the IJA to spend money for a shuttle bus for anyone like that, or simply, if we want to accommodate those folks, rent a van or a car. And we get into all kinds of liability and logistical issues with something like that. So for tent campers, I don't know if there's a good answer, and I don't know if the fund money would be a big benefit to them. For people who are in an RV, a motorhome, or a travel trailer, there is a beautiful riverside campground 1 mile from the gym. It is served by public transportation, and it is across the street from convenience stores and fast food. So if anyone is bringing a camper, RV, motorhome, travel trailer, they will have a great camping location 1 mile from the gym with all kinds of amenities on a public transportation route. We'll put all that information into the fest flyer, but I don't really know, Tom, how we could run a shuttle. If you have ideas on how that could be done, if you know other people that have figured out a way to do that, I'd be happy to hear about it.
Okay, absolutely. A lot of the people, I guess, in my demographic, you know, the absolutely broke recently in or out of college kind of crowd, I've heard a lot of people extremely interested in the prospect of camping and if there is a shuttle possibility. I can help you research that, because, I mean, I can't imagine that it would be terribly difficult to solve, especially if we have some money coming from somewhere.
Let me say this. Let's say we got 8 or 10 people that are camping, and we could get them all to agree that the shuttle would leave the campground at 10 in the morning, at 2 in the afternoon, and at 10 at night, and make one run in each direction. Would that be acceptable, something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Because I don't think we could ever afford to run a continuous shuttle all day long, every day for a week for 8 or 10 people.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I don't really think that a continuous shuttle would be a very good solution one way or the other, just like 2 or 3 or 4 runs per day, especially because, you know, if you're going to go camping, it's the first time that something like this would have been offered, and, you know, it's unreasonable to expect the IJA to bend over backwards to help, but some help in that direction, especially since there is camping in the area.
Next question would be, how would we find out who is camping and when? Would we ask for that in registration information, or how would we find out who and how many people we have to serve?
Yeah, I agree that would be a thing to research to figure out how to do. I do feel very strongly that we should accommodate people that are willing to do that. Because the earlier that we get information out about the potentiality of there being shuttles, I think the more people will wind up camping. So.
Okay. Well, I think Matt and I are both willing to listen to ideas for providing that service if we can figure out how to make the mechanics work. And
Tom, why don't we figure out how to do that?
We can look into it.
Yeah, Tom, why don't you and I set up some time to talk maybe tonight, tomorrow night, or the next night, and see if we can bang it out and get some details ready so that I have the information in hand when the fund meets again next Tuesday.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great. Let's talk after the meeting.
Okay, cool deal.
Kevin, Nick, yep.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
We're just talking about the fest kind of yet. We're on the fund area. And have been talking about the possibility of a shuttle to a campground. Mike, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but the campground for the tent camping, do they require reservations in advance?
They probably do. I know the RV park does. I can't imagine that there would be huge demand in the middle of summer, but I'll ask them. And if so, then that would be one way we could find out who's camping with the IJA group is ask them for registration info.
Can you get a good rate?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll give them a call in the coming week, Kim, and see what they know about that.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions about the Fest or the Fun Fund? If not, great work, guys. Future festivals, Mike, anything on that front?
Lots going on. As before, we have many cities interested in us. We've gotten a firm proposal now from Bowling Green State University, and they are wanting me to come for a site visit in February or March. I think we're on the verge of also having a very serious offer from Hartford, Connecticut, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Springfield, Missouri, and I think in the next month or so we will be given invitations for site visits for all of those. I can't really say right now if any of those cities will be a real good match. My biggest concern with Bowling Green is it is a very hard place to get to. It's not near any hub airport. Hartford is trying to put a good offer together for us, but Hartford is a very expensive city. They are close to New York City and can be served by New York area airports, but not that easily and not that cheaply. So that could be a showstopper there. But I think the IJA is in the best situation that we've been in years now to be able to pick from a number of good offers for 2013. And I think in the next 2 to 3 months, we will be able to whittle the list down to a couple very solid proposals that I can present to the board to look over and decide upon. And that's about it for Future Fest right now, Kim, but lots more coming by the next board meeting.
That sounds great. Just to know that many people want us is awesome.
Mike, this is Kevin. I actually had a question about this year's Fest, and I know that any number projections are difficult this many months ahead, but I was wondering if you had any projections as far as attendees for the festival this year.
I am hoping for 700, Kevin, and I think we will get 700 very easily, and if we do, we will have a great fest and the IJA will have a profitable festival. I think it's very easy for us to achieve quite a bit more than that, and my stretch goal number, my fantasy number for 2011 attendees is 1,000. And don't worry, we're going to have a lot of people come to Rochester. Everybody I've talked to says they're coming, and people that haven't been to Fest in years that I've talked to are coming. And I think a lot of things are working in our favor for Rochester. So my budget, my plans, and everything I'm working on so far says a great fest with 700 people, which I think is very doable and reasonable. And anything above that will be all the more fun.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, any other questions? If not, moving on to financial, which Kevin, I put together a quick paragraph just about what I've had to do with the finances the last month. So if you want to review that or if you have other information, that's great.
So we've moved the EWE money to a separate account. And I believe we're working on revising the financial statements so it accurately reflects what the where the donation is allocated. Let's see. So, yeah, and then we have had the previous board voted on a movement of money from the Life Member Fund. And since the balance of the general funds got very, very low.
Are you
sorry,
still there,
what
Kevin?
Was the decision here?
What's
I wasn't
that?
On the board when this I wasn't on the board when this decision was made, so what was the could you provide some background on that?
Sure. There was a motion that was made by a previous board. I want to say it was maybe 2 years ago. It may have been the year before you were on the board, Kevin, where we had given Holly permission that if she saw it necessary to borrow money from the Life Member Fund, that she could do so. There was no date put on that motion. So when she called and she said, we're getting low on funds, should I move money over? I looked to make sure that that motion did not have a date on it because I didn't recall it having a closing date. And I told her if we need to move the money, we need to do it. She did just on either Monday or Tuesday of this week moved $20,000, not originally $25,000 as I had put. She moved $20,000 from the Life Member Fund into the General Fund, which is just a loan that was made very clear by the previous board that any money that was moved would be a loan and that we would pay it back to the Life Member Fund. It's there as a safety net right now for us because our balance in our general fund is low.
And that will repayment would most likely come from the festival, correct?
Right. Okay. Holly's figuring that once the registration starts coming in for this year's fest that we'll be able to quickly repay that.
And it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to use all or even necessarily any of it, correct?
No, it's there is a safety net at this point.
I'm all for safety nets.
Holly just didn't want any money that we do have on automatic payment, like our payments to Alan Howard for the magazine are on auto pay. She didn't want any of those going through and overdrafting the account. Any other questions? Or Kevin, do you have anything else?
I'm working on getting through all the donation receipts for anything from 2010. That's in progress.
Okay.
I have a general question, and I'm for sure I missed this previously, but where exactly, if I wanted to see the current state of the IJA financially in a broad picture sense, where could I find that information?
Do you want to take that one, Kevin?
Well, we post financial statements on the IJA website, and Holly should be finishing up with her 2010 end-of-the-year statements by the end of the month.
Okay, so that's the one I was curious about.
Now, I think you have to be logged in as a member on the site to see it, correct?
No, you do not.
Oh, that's right. No, you don't.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, I figured that was it. I just wanted to make sure. Because when I looked last, I didn't see the 2010 actuals, so That's right.
Right, right. She has up to a month to produce those after the end of the quarter.
Mike in Maryland.
The quarter ended on December 31st.
Gotcha.
We also removed the quarter three ones because they need some revision to make sure that the donation is displayed.
Okay.
In a way that makes it clear that it's separate.
Mm. All right. Hey, that's all good, man. I'll wait until she gets the 2010 up.
Yeah, it's. Do you know where it is on the website, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. She does also send those items to the board, I believe, to the entire board before they're posted, just so that we can have some input. And if there are any questions, you can, you know, we get to see them before the general public does.
Cool.
Yep. And last year, Tom and I put together an article for the e-newsletter. So I'm hoping the two of us can put that together as well. And that'll just be a simplified version of what's on the website with pictures and graphs.
Nice.
Any other questions?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. And, Matt, if at any time you have questions, too, Holly's more than open to answering questions or, you know, sending you what she has. She's good about that. So just shoot her an email and she'll respond.
Aaron.
Or call her.
Oh, Aaron in the house.
Hello. Aaron, welcome.
Hi.
We're just getting to the store report, if there is any.
Okay.
Kevin, anything from the store?
Let's see. DVDs have shipped. There's been at least one that's defective, so let's see. We got a large order from Naranja, which is also shipped. That's about it. I think we're up to about 80 DVD sales now.
Okay.
But I haven't sat down and counted.
Is that without Naranja's order?
That's including it.
Okay. Okay. Any questions about the store?
We're also selling magazines, which is pretty cool. So,
ooh.
A few a month, but it's something.
Okay. Okay. Anything from website team?
Yes, Kim. I sent out prospect letters to another eight or ten. Other consultants late last week. Haven't gotten any replies back, but I'm hoping we get at least a couple more people interested in closing for us, so we have some choice in competition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the strategy that Aaron and David and Kevin, or Martin and I decided on, is to get a couple more consultants interested in talking to us before we decide to get serious about giving them our specifications and so on and move toward getting a proposal for a consulting contract.
Definitely. I did contact a friend of mine who's kind of in that area. He's running a multimedia business. He gave me three other names of people who might be interested as well. So I'll send you their contact information. If you're interested and want to use them to see if they get back to you, that's fine. If not, that's fine too.
That's for AMS Consulting specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. I have a form letter ready to go to them.
Okay. Okay. Any questions for website team? If not, let's move to membership.
I don't really have anything additional to report.
Okay.
Any questions for Marilyn?
Questions for Marilyn? If not, we'll move on to education.
Cool. I'll start. The pilot program for the youth education program's official ending is this March, and at that point we will have compiled the numbers and how many students, pictures, video, with the help of Taylor Glenn and the different instructors. And it'll also help us to formulate our projected budget. In other words, we'll know how much we spent with three active pods,
or four active pods, and we'll be able to make a projected budget, which we've learned is required for most grant applications, a projected yearly budget for the project. And also, by that time, we will have some feedback forms from both the instructors and program directors. We got a list of different things that we need for the majority of grant applications, different information, which, again, include the projected budget, some more formal things like audited tax forms, and, Kim, we discussed you working with Holly to get some of those things, and then a number of things that we have, like our mission statement. So the heavy grant applications will really begin once we've compiled this information. Again, the pilot program for the youth education program will be complete in March. Erin?
Yep, and just checking in with the different pods. It sounds like things are going really well for the trial. Lots of kids active. I know we had two pods that did performances during Christmas time for their local group or local area. So those are the first performances that have come out of it, and so things are looking well. We were also wanting to share the mission statement, but I'm not sure that we have that on hand currently. But for all that don't know, we have created a mission statement for YEP specifically with the help of a consultant, and plan to share that sometime soon.
Very good.
Okay. Anything else?
No, it's going well. It's on the way. We're still certainly several months from receiving any grant money at a minimum, but we will need to, just as a reminder, all agree on the percentage to the grant writer. These offer certainly very low percentages. They range, to my understanding, from 5% to 20% at a high for grant writers. And my for the initial applications, I know that she was thinking along the lines of 5%. I might even encourage us to offer 10. Nothing, again, is formalized. These are just things for us all to think about, because really, to me, it seems a matter of money where there wasn't any. And the more motivated the grant writer, the more grants it would seem to me. So that's just a side thing that will be coming up in the next few months.
That is true. And I actually did find the YEP mission statement, which I'll just share really quick because we wanted to share it with all of you. It is, the mission of the youth of the youth education program is to provide quality juggling instruction and education in schools and youth programs throughout the U.S. The goal is to challenge and empower young people in a fun, healthy, and rewarding environment while spreading the joy of juggling.
Ooh.
That's that.
Like it.
Yeah, I like that. Very nice.
Sweet. Now, that, just so you're all aware, a mission statement can grow and change as a program grows and changes. And the one thing that hit me, Erin, as you read that, was in the U.S. Right. And we decided on that wording because that's right now. Right. And I just want that wording. Everyone to understand that just because it says that now doesn't mean that next year we can't amend that and change it to say, you know, a couple other countries or, you know, a couple other areas, continents or whatever. So, you know, that's a start for us. So any questions from anyone about the YEP program? If not, marketing and promotions, Tom?
Okay. Yeah, cool. So we are officially, 10, 11, 12 days away from the 1st of February, which is the start of the tutorial contest. Yay. And things are looking pretty good, though I still have not heard back from a few people with, I guess, final confirmations about what it is specifically they're donating. Some of them I'm not tremendously worried about. Like, if we don't have their support in the end, it would not affect the contests in a major way, like malabar.com.mx. I think they're just going to donate a set of clubs. They haven't responded to me fully. But I'm still waiting to hear back from Play. So I've sent them a few emails, talked back and forth, but I guess I haven't gotten a final word about that. So I'd like to hold off on voting and writing the full breakdown of all the prizes until I have that information, because that could change a few things. Other than that, I mean, it looks like we've got about $5,000 worth of prizes lined up, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
At MassFest this weekend, I went out to Kinko's and I printed up a whole bunch of little business cards, sort of advertisement things about the contest, and I think I put out around 100, and almost all of those went. So there are a lot of people getting excited about it, which is neat. And so that's really all I have to say about that. Juggling.tv and myself, we should be writing up final rules about their involvement with the contest. Assuming that the final rules on that isn't necessarily something that we have to have voted on, I'll just post those on the forum and get David to put those on the website. But for those of you that don't know, juggling.tv, I guess, has everybody read that on the forum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
I won't go into that then, but they're excited, and I feel like that's a great bridge-building opportunity with some European groups. So.
Sure.
So, yes, that's really everything that I have. I mean, things are looking good, and hopefully things will be looking even better in the next couple of days.
Awesome. Good job, Tom. Yeah. Any questions for Tom?
Tom, you mentioned the last meeting a donation from Flow Toys, and I was just going to let you know, in case you hadn't confirmed with them, that in just a few days they're headed off to Singapore for like a month. So if there's any unfinished business with them, you might put it at the top of the list.
Okay, yeah. No, last time I talked to them, which was, I guess, about a month ago, they said they were just going to ship their prize to the winner. I have that all firmed up, so that should be good. A lot of companies are donating to us. Basically, one of the reasons why they are donating is because we're letting them ship stuff to Kevin Macbeth's house. A number of people weren't exactly thrilled about the idea of doing the double favor kind of thing, where we ask them to donate something and then email them again 2 months later with a new address for them to ship it. So the fact that we're going to cover some of the shipping costs like that is letting this program grow in a pretty great way. So thank you for those of you who are supporting that idea last meeting. So.
All right. If there's nothing else there, are we ready to move on to motions for consideration? Our first motion for tonight is a motion to approve Niels Dunker, I hope I pronounced that right, as the IJA European representative. Someone to make that motion, please?
I will absolutely
go ahead.
Kevin A.
And second?
Second. Aaron?
Any discussion?
I like Niels. I know he's really thorough. And he's a good business guy. So, I think I can't think of many people who dislike him or have animosity towards him. I mean, and that would be the only reason I would think not to do it. Anybody else?
I liked him, too. I think he's a great choice. I was wondering if there is some sort of, like, a formal job description regarding this position, because I am a little unclear about the specific duties of being the European representative.
Actually, there are job descriptions online.
Okay.
It's just a really, really intense thing to kind of find them. I usually have to find them. I can send a link to everybody once I find it. I have already spoken with Niels about what the job might entail. And he is very gung-ho. He's ready to get started. He already wants to meet with someone to design a brochure-type thing for specifically for handing out at European festivals for the IJA. So he's already made a request, you know, for a little bit of money to do stuff. And I don't know if you guys want to allow him some sort of budget here. I don't know how much he's asking for because he didn't give a dollar amount. But he wants to get some printed materials done so that he can send things out to the various festivals in Europe. And he is very ready to start pushing the IJA.
Cool.
That's awesome.
That is great.
So I don't know if you want to do that here or if we want to wait until next meeting and kind of look at, you know, what kind of expenses is he talking about and ask him to kind of submit, you know, a budget of some sort, and then we'll move from there.
I think he would probably have no problem submitting a budget, and it would even help him feel like we're taking it seriously. I think we approve him now, assuming everyone's all right with, and then maybe ask for a budget from him.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
And it would just be neat to know, more. Here, I know you talked to him a little bit, just maybe a little write-up of some of his plans or something like that, just to kind of understand what he thinks the role is and what we feel it should be and such. Yeah, because it sounds like he's got some good plans, but I'd like to hear what they are.
Yeah. I agree.
So
I'm surfing the web as we're talking, too. I'm trying to find those job descriptions because I know they're there online. All right, is there any other discussion? If not, we'll go to the vote. Anyone opposed to approving Niels Dunker as the IJA European representative? Any abstentions? The motion passes.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Item B, motion to approve a bad debt allowance of 30% on the financial reports. We need someone to make that motion so that we can discuss, please.
I'll make that motion. This is Tom.
Second, please.
I'll second. This is Kevin.
Okay. And discussion.
So I'm for a bad debt allowance, but I don't know that 30% is the right number.
Or the best number. Right. And I put that in as just, you know, what I had seen you kind of discuss a little bit. But we can, by all means, change that to whatever you want. I don't know what an appropriate number would be.
Do you have a number in mind, Kevin?
Yeah. Any ideas, Kevin?
Not until I check the life tables.
Would you be more comfortable if we tabled it until you could get your ideal percentage?
Yeah, I'll have the ideal percentage for the next meeting.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Holly's waiting to do the end-of-the-year reports until she has that number. So if we can agree for her to put in a bad debt allowance and then take another vote on the percentage, she could start setting things up, and then we could even straw poll vote before the next meeting if necessary. So that she can get going on the 990s.
Ah.
Is anyone opposed to doing that?
Well, really, I'm just looking for Mr. Macbeth to be, you know, comfortable with what we're doing.
Right.
He's treasurer.
He knows the financial side of things.
And I agree with that. So, Kevin Macbeth, if we just were to approve allowing the bad debt allowance to show on the financial reports and then give you time to figure out what percentage that should be, can we straw poll on that later?
Yeah. I'll put the number together tonight. It'll just take an hour or two to do.
Okay. So, let's see. Brandy, who made this motion again?
Tom Wall.
Okay, Tom. Are you okay with amending the motion to remove that percentage?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so the motion would then read motion to approve bad debt allowance on financial reports.
Okay.
I move that.
Okay. And we need, and who seconded it? Kevin McBeth, you seconded it. Are you okay with that?
I will second that.
Okay. So the motion has been amended. There's been discussion. Is there any further discussion? If not, we will vote on the amended motion. Anyone opposed to approve a bad debt allowance to appear on the financial reports? Any abstentions?
Yeah, this is Matt. I'm going to abstain simply because I'm totally lost.
Okay.
I'm not embarrassed to admit that I'm completely in over my head at this point.
Okay. No, nothing to be embarrassed about. That's fine. So Matt Hollett abstains, and the motion passes. Item C, motion to approve the addition of JTV subcontest to the YouTube contest rules. Tom, do you want to make that motion?
I would love to make that motion.
Okay. And do we have a second, please?
Second, Aaron.
And any discussion?
Just to clarify what this is, basically juggling.tv is interested in collaborating with us this year and possibly more so in the future. They're going to have a committee of some number of judges. I don't have that pinned down quite yet. And they'll vote on their favorite or their, you know, the one that is the best. Some video that gets uploaded to juggling.tv that is part of this contest, and we'll award them a prize that is separate of the top 10 prizes that will be awarded, you know, in the, I guess, the main contest. And I plan on, I have a draft of the rules written up. I'm just waiting to hear back from juggling.tv about what, you know, if they have any objections to it or anything, because, you know, they're just as much as, I mean, this is more their contest, the subcontest, than it is ours. So,
cool.
Just to be clear on that.
Okay.
So the voting will still be occurring in the same fashion as last year, and the
JTV
judges will select one for a separate prize.
Exactly, yeah. So,
and it has to be one that's uploaded to JTV specifically.
Exactly, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I guess sort of as an aside, the plan for the future growth is to turn the whole contest into instead of IJA YouTube tutorial contest, to scratch YouTube and replace it with video, so it'll be the IJA video tutorial contest, and people will just be allowed to upload wherever, juggling TV, YouTube, Vimeo, whatever. I suspect that the bulk of the videos will still wind up on YouTube, but it's a good way to get more involvement, especially globally.
Yep.
So that's that. And what we're voting on now is just so that this contest exists, like the subcontest exists, not anything to do with the specific rules or anything. I'm going to send that out on the over email or onto the forum, and we can do a straw poll on that when I have that finished.
Great. I would just think maybe it might be good form to notify whoever's donating that particular prize that there's a different circumstance behind that.
Oh.
And just make sure that's all right.
They're aware.
Yeah, that has already been taken care of.
JTV has lined up the prize, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oddballs is a sponsor. I think they might even fund all or foot all of the server costs for JTV. And I asked them, I asked juggling.tv to find a prize for the subcontest, and that's how that got set up. So the IJA's involvement with the subcontest is really more of a branding thing than anything else. We're not really dealing with any of the logistics whatsoever.
Okay, awesome. Any other discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to the vote. Is there anyone opposed to approving the addition of JTV subcontest to the YouTube contest rules? Any abstentions? Motion passes.
Yay.
There you go, Tom.
Cool.
Good work.
Item D, motion to approve three fest packages and DVDs as IJA-sponsored prizes for the IJA YouTube contest. We need this motion made, please.
I'll make that motion. Motion, Kevin A.
Second?
I'll second it. This is Tom.
And discussion?
Let me clarify what this is, too, really quickly. So the three fest packages are going to be part of the top three prizes. So first, second, and third, each one will get an IJA Festival package, just like last year. That is transferable from year to year, assuming that they can't make it to Rochester, but it's not transferable person to person. That is no different than last year whatsoever. So those are for first, second, and third. And when I say DVDs, I would like to have a donation from the IJA of 10 festival DVDs. I don't really care what year. I don't think that really matters. Since the way that this year's contest is structured in terms of prizes and that we have fixed prizes, there's no, like, I don't know if you remember from last year. I think it was positions 4 through 8. They were allowed to pick, like, 3 items from this long list of things that were, like, memberships and DVDs and shirts and stuff. I would just like to have this year every one of the top 10 gets an IJA DVD of some indiscriminate year. We'll just send one their way, depending on what we have in our inventory. I think that'll make our lives a little bit easier, and we won't have to worry about if one of the years is a little bit lower in our inventories, and if that happens to be more requested, you know, that could turn into a fiasco. So that's that. Just 10 arbitrary years of Kevin McBeth's choice.
Nice.
Well, don't we need to get their address from them?
Yeah, we will.
Because
yeah,
we could them for their address. We could just ask for them to put a DVD at the same time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we can do that.
It's not an additional having to contact them.
Okay.
As opposed to previous ones where multiple people were contacting people, someone for the address, someone for the DVD.
Yeah, so I don't know. In the final prize things, I'll probably just write IJA DVD. I won't say of your choice or anything, just to clutter it up. But when I contact people, I'll see if they have a preference.
Okay, any further discussion? If not, we'll go to the vote. Anyone opposed to approving 3 fest packages and DVDs as IJA-sponsored prizes for the IJA YouTube contest? Any abstentions? Motion passes. All right, we do have some items for Varia tonight that are already listed. Item A, discussion of suggested bylaws change presented on the IJA forums by Don Lewis. This change would, quote, require that resolutions from ordinary members be submitted 60 days in advance of the meeting. This gives a period for publication, reflection, and wide comment. This does not preclude doing business at the AGM. The board can still propose resolutions, and the members can present positions. If a last-minute member issue is sufficiently important, a board member can still propose a resolution on their behalf, end quote. And that was quoted from Don Lewis's post of August 11th, 2010. So I put this on as Varia just so we could start discussing it. Is this something we want to look at doing? If so, I suggest that we send the wording to a parliamentarian to make sure that it's worded correctly for our bylaws. But I want to hear what everybody else has to say about it.
I'm initially hesitant, but I'm not understanding perhaps the benefit of this amendment. Kim, can you shed any light on how that would benefit, protect, or serve us?
From my discussions with Don and from what I've read on the forums, organizations use this 60-day in advance of the meeting time period so that you have more involvement of all members, not just the members that are sitting there at the AGM.
A lot of colors.
Because as you guys know from our meetings, we don't get a whole lot of people there.
Right.
So it's very easy for, you know, if somebody wants to bring up a topic and make a motion, that they could flood the room with just, you know, 10 or 15 people that see their side of it, and that motion would pass because no one else was given an opportunity to even look at that.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and is this real? Is this based in part on past precedent? I mean, I don't feel the need to mention it, but you know what I mean.
I have a feeling in Don's case it may, because he was in the hot seat that year. So
yeah, remember that was tough, and that had effects for years after.
Yes, and still is at times. So and it's because of that I do support something like this. It, as it's saying, it's not saying that someone can't bring up something as business at the AGM and we can't move forward on it. It's not what it's saying at all. It's just we or any board, for that matter, in the future would have the opportunity to review any motions from the membership. Other members would have time to review and give their input. You know, we wouldn't be hearing from just a small minority, we would be able to hear from more of our members, whether they're at the fest or not.
Okay. I'd be interested in what the parliamentarian has to say. I have trouble seeing many of our members being organized enough present an idea 6 months in advance, honestly. I 60 days.
Well, it's 2 months in advance, but yeah.
Yeah. Even then, how, not that it would affect us negatively, but how many people are, you know, it's still going to be two or three, maybe five people at the most to actively use that. And I don't know. What is everyone else thinking?
That's why I put it on the Varia, because I want to hear what everyone else has to say about this.
This is Matt. Off the top of my head, I can see the logic for doing something like this. I think the way it is worded right now is still a little vague or subject to, I think, further scrutiny. We need to edit it if we're going to do it. And then that's just on that side. On the other side, My feeling is always, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And up to this point, the process, as I've experienced it, doesn't seem broke for submitting proposals, getting ideas onto the board agenda for consideration, either from us or from other people. Yeah, I'm just not seeing it. And of course, there's also just the idea of mistaken perspective. Some people will think that we're doing this to exclude people. And if we don't need to do it and we don't need to get that bad press, then why do it? The way things are working right now is reasonably, I think, effective. I don't see a big log jam of ideas.
And I also see the other side of it, Matt, because it was after the AGM in Lexington, Kentucky, that a member came to our first official board meeting after the AGM and after the election and made or suggested that a motion be made that we are required to have a parliamentarian at our AGMs from now on. And the board at that time did pass that motion, and that's why we've had a parliamentarian there every time. Lexington, Kentucky, we did not have a parliamentarian present there for the AGM. I think if that motion had not been made requiring us to have a parliamentarian at the AGMs, then I think this would be more important. And yet at the same time, I don't know. So that's my other side of it. You know, being that we have the parliamentarian, do we really need to see things in advance to prepare or to make sure that they're okay or word it properly or whatever?
Yeah, Lord knows we don't follow that.
Yep.
You know, and there's a sense of equity here that I would like to maintain, and we certainly don't submit our proposals 60 days in advance. Why would we require the members to do so? That smacks of a bit of elitist kind of, you know, like, you guys need to get your, you know, shit together because we've got to, you know, and that's, no, I'm not feeling.
Yep. I'm also, I would question how much feedback we'd actually get once they came in. Just in the fact that I haven't seen too much feedback come in on the topic outside of, you know, specific names. It's been pretty small.
Yeah. It's not like the forum is just packed with people going,
if the forum was packed with the members on a regular basis, you know, it might be beneficial. But at this point, I don't see that, and I don't see them giving too much feedback to the proposal 60 days in advance. So.
Okay. And I agree with Matt. I wouldn't want it to be misperceived as trying to block people out or fodder for the few individuals who might want or always look for something. I feel like we're doing good. We're healing. We're past some rocky hills now, and they're behind us. And I don't want them to be, you know.
No need to re-stir the dust.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. Like I said, being that we have the parliamentarian at the AGM makes me feel more confident about what we do at the meetings. We know we're doing them right. And that parliamentarian's there to act on our behalf if necessary, so and to guide us in the Robert's Rules. And Mike has told me that a parliamentarian is already lined up for Rochester, so
cool.
We know we'll have that there.
Good. Yeah, and that way if questions about rules do arise, we have somebody there to answer them, and that's comforting. Yes.
Hey, Kim?
Yes.
I agree with since we have a parliamentarian there, I think that helps a lot. And also I'd like to say that just because we don't amend the bylaws like this, we can still publish things in advance of the meeting so people can know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like we can ask for stuff ahead of time and see if anyone actually does provide things that far ahead of time and publish it for people.
I think that would be a great idea to do. I'm supposed to be getting the board agenda to you guys 10 days in advance, and I apologize. I've been trying to get it at least 7. Sometimes I make it on 10. But... yeah, I would love to know what people think. I think we all need to prepare, you know, and be prepared for meetings, and that's why we need to do it a little bit in advance. Yeah, let's put it
but
out
in
there.
In advance for the AGM and everything, yeah. I mean, just put it out that folks can give us ideas that they're going to be bringing up, and see if there's any response to that.
Yeah.
And I would like to mention that you should prepare for the AGM before you actually get to the festival, because once the festival starts, you're not going to have time to prepare anything.
Trust me, I did last year. I usually do prepare before I even get there. And the parliamentarian is usually asked to be there about an hour before the actual AGM, so that parliamentarian can go over with us any changes in parliamentarian rule and Robert's rules and that kind of stuff. And, you know, we can ask the parliamentarian questions as well as vice versa. So it's just to get acquainted time and so that we're all on the same page as what we need to do in the meeting. We have that as well, and that's also preparation time. So... yeah, I'm fine with that. If everybody's on the same page that we don't need to amend the bylaws, we're fine with the parliamentarian being there to help it guide us.
Yeah, I think if when we communicate to Dawn about it, saying something like we think that not that we think it's a bad idea, but that we think it's already covered by the parliamentarian. We think it's an issue that's already handled type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to, you know, he doesn't
definitely. I definitely see his points behind it. Like, he had some good points.
I thought
more membership being involved in the process, you know, if that could happen.
I saw Don at Turbo last weekend, and we chatted a little bit, and he was just like, nothing huge, just a thought.
Oh, awesome.
Not like he's sitting there waiting for this meeting to be over so we can.
No, Don's not like that.
Yeah, exactly. But, I'm just saying, he's putting it out there as an idea. Don't worry about Don.
Yeah, and I think he'll be fine too. That with Kevin's idea of just because we're not going to put this as an amendment to the bylaws doesn't mean that we can't put out a call and say, hey, you have something you want to bring up for the AGM? Let's discuss it a little earlier. And I think by doing that in a more informal way, hopefully we'll get more people involved with discussion. So, all righty. Sounds good. Any other discussion on that Varia point? If not, we'll move on to topic B. Discussion of special requests to present events such as the second special workshop and an added show at the 2011 Fest in Rochester. Matt, I put this on at your request.
Thank you.
I kind of expanded a bit, but go ahead and...
All good. So, real quick, everybody remembers the last meeting when Mike mentioned that he had been approached by a certain juggler, a certain well-known juggler, to host a workshop at the IJA Festival in Rochester for profit. Essentially, the guy just wanted the room, wanted to kind of have people sign up for the workshop and then pay direct to him. That person is Dan Holtzman, okay? And of course, I went on saying, well, I don't know if I don't like that. It goes against the overall nature of the workshops at the festival, which are free, with the one special workshop being run by the special guest, in this case, Stefan Zane. So then I started to think, okay, well, how can we, when I found out it was Dan, I was like, oh, okay, I felt like I had my foot in my mouth, because I was thinking, well, if it's Dan, that's a pretty good workshop. Maybe people want that. Plus, he's just my friend, so I'll admit that. But in any case, so I started thinking, how can we do this win-win? So I started thinking, oh, maybe we can subsidize his workshop through the fund and just open up to everybody, and that way it's a free workshop, quote-unquote, but Dan still gets what he wants, which is, of course, he wants some cash. And then we talked about fun, and I went, and we were thinking about getting him some money. But then when I talked to Dan, Dan said, "Well, look, why don't we do this like a vendor? Essentially, how about if I'm allowed to do the workshop and charge for it, then I kick back 10% or whatever to the IJA. In which case, now we're dealing with more kind of a vendor situation, and we're not setting a precedent" where the people are now allowed to make money off their workshops at IJA. It becomes more like he's paying for the space, supposedly. So if 10 people sign up at $100 each, that's $1,000, we get $100. That's what my understanding with Dan right now, and I want to hear what you guys think of it. Or, should I go back to the fund, try and get the money for it that way? Or should we just tell Dan, nah, forget it, dude, don't do it. Oh, by the way, the specifics on the workshop are a 3 to 4 day comedy writing workshop and seminar, right? Mm-hmm. Basically getting people to develop their acts and their material.
This is Kevin. I like the idea. I think it is a service to fellow jugglers. I don't think it should come out of the fund because of the guidelines that we were generally given. For that being that to benefit all the jugglers at the festival, and only people that are going to be able to pay additional things on top, so that's going to be a real small percentage of the
fund. I agree. I don't think the fund money is right for it.
But I do think it's a good idea. I do think that jugglers who take it could benefit a lot, really, in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we have the room to spare, that we could give it a go, as long as we're not sacrificing a room or an event or something like that.
And Matt, yeah. I like your proposal. In fact, when I was on the forum with Mike, that was one of my suggestions, not a percentage back to the IJA, but I was talking split. But I would be happy with a percentage back to the IJA.
Mm-hmm. Something that he's given back to us just as a thank you for providing the space, I think, is
exactly
needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he gets 20 people for the 3 days, you know, that's $2,000 to him. He throws us $200.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Yeah, that's a nice little chunk of change.
It's really beneficial, and I know I put this on the forum, I believe, as well. But it's just because Stefan Singh, you know, and generally the special guests have a specific style, this is a different specific style, and it's going to have a different draw for other people, specifically professionals, and I think that's huge. You know, if we already had a comedy writing special guest, I'd say probably not, but because there's such different styles, I think it's going to be beneficial, and different people will get different things out of it.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I think there definitely needs to be some kind of payment. I mean, it doesn't matter how token it is, but I would be wary of the precedent. So I think that a percentage back is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think it's a good idea, but I think it's just worth mentioning, and Aaron, your comment brought this to my head, was we don't want to offend Stefan Singh.
Definitely not.
I don't know or necessarily think that that would happen, but the prestige of being a special guest and having it's just something for us to consider. I still think it's a good idea, but that could somehow be taken as an offense, an affront
right.
to the prestige of being the special guest and filling his workshop. Even if it,
right.
like you said, doesn't cross skills and it's different
it is
areas.
A financial pull.
He'll feel like, let's say he gets 15, that maybe he should have had 25, but because, you know, so somehow working the courtesy and making sure that Stefan Singh understands
guest.
That he is our special
yeah.
guest, and maybe
guest.
Differently. Like Dan's is a right. comedy writing workshop, but not necessarily
right.
Entitled Special Guest Dan Holzman or something
no.
like that.
Yeah.
And another thing that was said on the forum, just to that, because I found it interesting, was that there have been years in the past where there were more than one special guest, so it's not mm-hmm. unheard of to have two workshops, paid workshops, at the same festival.
That is true. In fact,
it has happened
Dave,
in the past.
Yes, it
yeah,
has.
Dave Walbridge actually ran one several years back, and he's never been a special guest, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the precedent of workshops being paid has happened, and I think in the Walbridge case, Dan and I were talking about it, it's the same thing. Walbridge kicked back some money to the festival, like a room rental fee, kind of like a vendor thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I think
he would still
definitely
be the special guest. And, yeah, I like this is a comedy workshop, 3-day comedy workshop, which I think people will see the value of that, you know, as opposed to a 1-hour comedy workshop.
Yeah.
That we offer.
Yeah, I'm workshops director, so I can certainly set it up in the schedule so there's no conflict. And also, just like Kevin said, the wording and the titling and everything is fine. I think, you know, we put the word out, people are going to want it. That's fine. You know, Dan is asking for really is a room and us kind of putting the word out that it is going to be there so the people in advance can kind of say, okay, I need to bring this much money and so on and so forth.
Right.
I say go for it, you know, as long as there's some sort of contribution back to the IJA.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's my big point. And I even said that to Dan. I'm like, look, dude, I'm workshops director. It's important to me that the workshops remain free. You want to do your thing, that's fine, but we got to work it out so that it's kosher.
Well,
or we don't do it. And he was like, that's fine.
Well, thanks for taking the initiative and approaching him about it like that, because I think this is a good middle of the road. So,
Yeah, bottom line, people are going to dig it. I mean, once again, it's a plus. It adds value.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't broken any taboos.
Right. And is Mike still on the call? Okay. I was kind of hoping he might still be here, but he must have left. There's also a group that wants to do a special show. It's one of the shows, and Mike has had this on the forums as well. But they
Vulcan or
I have no idea what group it is.
And that's the thing that I tried to say. I think it's important for us to know who, you know, and I know it's kind of PC to not say who it is and just make it based on face value, but I think it's important to know who the special guest person is.
Yeah, because it does, in the grand scheme of
quality,
it does make a difference.
Yeah, it adds to, yeah, it's either going to add to the quality or do nothing. So it's good to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Yeah, I ended up feeling like a schmuck when I found out it was Dan. You know, I was like, oh, that changed my opinion, you know.
Yeah. But it does.
Several
I mean,
obviously.
Yeah, there's
really
several reasons why naming the person and naming what the benefit we're receiving, the IJ is receiving from it. Yeah.
Okay. And if he doesn't want to name it on Board Plus, if he only wants to tell the board members only, then that's fine. A simple email will do. But I'll send an email to Mike and ask him if he could please fill us in more about the details of that, because I think we need that to make that decision.
Yep, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Item C, if we have no more discussion about special fest considerations, item C is a discussion of videography for the 2011 fest. I spoke with Ivan by phone yesterday, and he is thinking he may not make it to the fest this year, but for good reason.
You guys know why?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Ivan's pregnant. Just kidding.
Yeah. I saw the baby pictures.
It's pretty exciting stuff.
I can finally talk about it. I've known about it for like 7 months, and I'm like,
yeah, I'm sure.
I was so happy for them when he told me yesterday. It's like, very happy for them. Awesome. Except I did say, couldn't you swing three? Don't they know you're a juggler? You know? But anyway, because of that, he wanted to talk to me about filming for the fest. I asked him, I said, do you think if Jay and Henry are available, could they do the videography? And he just edited it. Ivan just edited it. And he said, yeah, he was all on board with that. He is still willing to edit the video if we want him to. He's also cool with us just putting the videography package out for bid if we want it to. He's leaving that up to the board. So that's why I wanted to bring it up to everyone now, because if we're putting it out on bid, we kind of have to start making plans and get some things out there.
Well, I like what I've been doing. I think every year it gets better. You know, I always appreciated Alan Howard's who was our press video guy? I'm sorry.
Alan Plotkin.
Yep. Thank you. I always appreciated his contributions, but I think Ivan has been improving the quality of the videos, and so I like Ivan myself, but I would be open to putting out bids. It's just another thing for us all to try to handle, and
and
who knows if it, you know, we don't want it to come down to the last minute. We have something in place. We know Jay knows the jugglers. He knows where the shot is, and is getting better every year. So that's
does
awesome.
Henry.
Yeah, I like our team, and I like it staying within the IJA membership and family.
Well, if the rest of the board wants, I will talk to Mike about this and have either him or if he wants me to contact Jay and Henry and see if they're interested, and then see what his plans are for the videography. Anyway, I haven't talked with Mike about the video or a DVD for the fest. I'm assuming he's going to want to do something. So, but if the rest of you want, I'll approach Mike about it and then move forward from there.
Yeah, and I just, if you might throw in one idea that I had based on our past thoughts, because last year we talked about and almost tried to make a video download, but the size was far too immense, and that along with a DVD that our jugglers could order, maybe a smaller download, something like half an hour is a pretty typical paid download, and maybe it's $2 or $3, like a
highlights,
you know, kind of a best of the highlights, and then it might encourage, I think we would get people downloading that for $2 or $3 and getting them exposure, and
then everyone would still have their DVD, the big long one. That could even be the main project. In comparison, it would take not a terrible amount of work once everything was captured to make a smaller video as well.
Right, and that's kind of what I was going for with Ivan this time, but we ran out of time, even to chop the video or the DVD into smaller sections. We just ran out of time. So if we're starting at this point right now, we should have no problem doing something like that, but I can talk to Ivan about that again. Because neither one of us wanted to give up on the idea of video downloads. We just had no choice.
All right, so let's talk to Jay and Henry, and if they're good to go, and if Ivan's good to go, then our problem, you know, that's it.
Do it.
But if Jay and Henry both go, we can't do it, then obviously we need to open it up, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So checking in with them first, yep.
And I'll check with Mike first to make sure he's in the loop and you know, is aware that this is going on.
And he's got the budget for it.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Anything else for Varia tonight?
Very, very quick. I just wanted to wholeheartedly encourage Tom, Kevin, and Kim to run again. I know the time is coming up soon. I love this team. You know, Tom and Kevin, you guys came in your first term have done a lot.
Rocked it.
Really appreciate everybody. So I just wanted to encourage you guys to run again. I really hope you do.
Cool. And I did have some very as well that I just wanted to throw out, Tom, if you don't mind, regarding the IRC. The IJ Regional Championships. Just to kind of give a heads up, we did end up contacting Omero from the Mexico Festival in Guadalajara that Matt and Kevin are going to be performing at, and have had some really fantastic response, and have already had some great, like a really great proposal come through outlining who their organizers are, who their funders are, how much they'd pay to the winner of the championships, and that they already have that in their budget, things like that. So the main concern that's coming up is the insurance, which I'm just guessing is going to be an issue with other countries. And I think it would be nice to find out what it actually looks like to have event insurance in another country. And Tom and I were talking about potentially talking to the lawyer, Kim, to find out what we're actually liable for doing this event when it's actually being hosted by another festival, and whether or not a really good waiver could surpass the insurance.
Never work. I know
waivers
that the lawyer is going to say that's the first thing the lawyer is going to say is waivers never hold up.
They're the worst. Yeah.
So I don't know. The first that Omero's response was, can I just ask you, what's liability insurance? I was just like, oh, no.
What I would rather do is go to the insurance company that gives us, that offers the IJA insurance, the performer's insurance, because they do cover festivals. I'm sure they don't cover in Mexico. But they have a sister company down there that we get through.
And that's something I found as well. I contacted an insurance company, and they said that they will cover an event in Mexico, the actual liability has to be housed in the United States, so it would still be the IJA holding the liability. But essentially, I think we would have to be the ones purchasing it, or paying for the liability insurance. But they will cover an event in Mexico. So that's the best I found, and I don't know how people feel about that. Or if the festival could reimburse us for that cost.
All right. Well, if that's the case, let me check. Since we have to hold the insurance, being an American-based organization.
Right.
That's what you're saying, right? Because we're sponsoring
it. Because we're the American organization. Yeah. Even though it's a Mexican event, we're holding the liability, essentially. And it would just be for that one night for our part of the event, of course.
All right. So let me contact the people that provide our performers' jugglers' insurance for our members, because it's a discounted insurance. I know they cover festivals. I know it's $150.
Okay.
that actually covers a full year. Let me see if they are willing to do it, and if so, that it's only $150. That's not much.
It's not too bad, yeah. And we can just, I mean, we can figure out what we want to do with that if the IJ can cover that, seeing as how the festival is taking on a lot of other, like they're paying $600, I think, in prize money and doing all the marketing and publicity stuff or what we want to do there. But
okay.
We kind of made it a deal just because we wanted it to be not fall through this time.
Right.
Made the deal that that was the qualifying thing, was having the proof of insurance in order to present a proposal to the board to be voted on. So if we can figure that out on our end and make it where it's not going to be hard in the future, that would be great, because I think so far that's been the most confusing thing to foreigners that I've chatted
with. Well,
so
if our insurance is willing to do it for the $150,
mm-hmm.
I will make that my contribution to the IRC.
Sweet.
So
right.
There's no need to worry about where that's going to come from then.
Cool.
Sweet.
One other thing.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Oh, just related to the regional festival competition. Could you guys let me know, shipping address and stuff for the festival? Because it'd probably be good to send a few raffle prizes down along with it.
To the regional championship?
Yeah. I mean, if we're already going to have a presence there, we might as well push it as hard as possible.
Yeah, it would be great. Or even if that's, I don't know if they'll have a raffle, but we can check in. But having, that as part of the prizes or something, too, where we give them IJA stuff, T-shirts, whatever, would be great.
I have plenty of T-shirts.
And that can be, you could either send it to them or just, because I'll probably be going as well. And I know Kevin and Matt are going, so we could bring it, in our suitcases, too, essentially.
Word.
Are they also going to need IJA awards of any sort?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, that was we were going to talk about that more when the actual proposals proposed.
Right.
But that's definitely on the IJA's side, is to give them some kind of a IRC medal. Yeah.
Okay.
But we can discuss that.
Yeah, because to get a medal picked out, if we were to design something new just for them, is going to take more time than what you have.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I only know that from the last time the medals were recasted.
Okay.
And it took 8 months or more for them to tool the actual design, because we were
mm-hmm.
doing a custom design. So,
okay.
For us to just use the IJA medals that we already have,
mm-hmm.
but have them engraved on the back.
Yeah,
the
I was going to say
or something.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah. That'd be doable.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, yeah, because we've got 5 months, so, just saying IRC
that's
Mexico or something, or IJA Regional Championship Mexico on the back.
Yeah. Well, that can be decided, but.
Okay. And also, yeah, I'd like to hear the costs, too, for medals, just because that's something
okay.
I don't
yeah.
know. But just so we can start factoring in what our portion of the contribution towards this would be.
I can get prices from the company that does our medals as
okay.
far as what it would cost to tool a custom designed. Specifically for that, and I would get the timetable and all as to how long it takes. I know last year I ordered the medals for our championships and for joggling in March, and they had to be delivered to the site because that's how long it took them to get them done.
Dang, so the sooner the better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Jim?
Yes.
Along those lines, I'll send you a medal inventory soon.
Okay.
So we know how many we have to order for that. Because I know we're out of bronze medals right now.
We are?
Yeah.
Okay. Did I send you the... Because I did an inventory before we left.
Okay.
Did I send you that?
Yeah, you sent me the medals. I don't know if you sent me the inventory.
Okay. I know I sent it to Mike. So let me send it to you as well.
Okay.
I just have to find where it is. All right, I'll.
Hey,
what?
Sorry, I'm sorry. I thought you were done. I hate to add more time, but real quickly,
Just the background is I just got invited to MC the British Juggling Convention in April. And then right on top of that, there's an Israeli convention right after it that they're talking about maybe or maybe not bringing me over for as well. I'd go to London and then I'd go to Israel. And then if Britain just contacted me today and said they have room for one more performer. Tom, Kevin, and Aaron, I recommended all three of you. So if somebody, if Andy Bass contacts you, that's where that's coming from.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah.
And then it gets more complicated. The Netherlands Juggling Convention asked me to come in June again, and that's the exact same time as the Mexican Fest.
Ah.
And I had to turn them down, and I said, but if you need, you know, if you need recommendations on who you could get to replace me, let me know. So if he contacts me, then do I want to recommend, you know, like Tom, for example, because Aaron and Kevin, we're going to be in Mexico too, right? Oh, Tom, you going to be in Mexico too?
No,
I'm recommend people that are not available.
Recommend the crap out of me, dude.
All right. That's fine. I have a select list, you know, Ivan, you know, people like that.
No, you should not recommend Ivan. You should recommend me.
Yeah, Ivan's got other things on his hands now. You
yeah,
know.
Ivan's already a no. I already talked to him. Ivan's a no-go. I was like, dude, Ivan and I are in Britain together, emceeing the show together. That would be epic. But but he can't do it because, you know, he's got the kids coming and he can't make that money. So he can't go to Britain for free for a week when he can make, you know, $10,000. So, yeah.
Cool.
So, just putting that out there. All done.
Thank you. Matt.
Thanks, Matt. All right, anything else? If not, we just have to set up the next meeting, which brings us to February. The third Wednesday in February is the 16th. Is that bad for anyone?
It's actually bad for Brandy and I. The 23rd would really be wonderful if we could do that.
Yeah, that would be better for me, actually, too.
I'm good.
Yeah, there's a chance I'll be in Canada then, but I'm not 100% sure. So go ahead and schedule it, and I'll figure something out if I can't make it.
Okay.
Actually, the 23rd works better for me, too, because I'll be at the International Toy Fair on the 16th.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
International Toy Fair?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Sounds pretty awesome. I would like that fair.
Actually, that's where I got my first introduction to some jugglers, and
sweet.
It was really cool, and I got to demo there and stuff, and it was cool.
Oh.
Okay, then we'll make that February 23rd, if that's all right with everyone.
Yeah. Can we say the Yep one's going to be 22nd, guys? Sorry.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay.
That's fine.
I'm just checking in. Okay.
And that'll be at 8 p.m. Eastern time for our regular meeting.
Sure.
We need someone to move for it to adjourn.
I'll move
I
to
will.
Adjourn.
Oh. Second bucket of dumping.
All right. We have a motion by everybody and a second by everybody. Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? If not, the meeting is adjourned at 9:40 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you, everyone.
Yay.
Great work.
Awesome.
Hey, Tom, I gotta run. Can I call you? Can I call you like tomorrow?
Yeah, totally. I'm free all day, so.
Yeah, let's talk shuttle plans tomorrow.
That sounds good. I'll do some research tonight and tomorrow morning.
Thanks, brother.
Love you guys.
Yeah, talk to you then.
Bye.
See you guys. See you, Kevin. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye, Kevin.
Bye.
Bye.